Bismillah, assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show, which is a way of life we try to put out there for everyone to see, helping you understand Islam and Muslims. I'd like to thank you for coming to the source to learn about the most misunderstood way of life in the world today. We're going to be talking about Islam, which simply means surrender and submission to who? To a man, to a monkey, to an elephant, to the sun, to the moon? No. To the creator of the heavens and the earth. The one who took care of you when you were in your mother's womb. The one who created everything that's in existence. That's the creator that you submit to. And you set up no partners with him. That's what Islam means. It's very simple. It's very logical. And we need you to do something. And that's turn on what? Your reasoning, your logic, your brain. And just listen now. We're going to be bringing on, and it's always a pleasant thing when somebody accepts Islam. And we're going to talk about this man's journey and how he ended up accepting Islam, which is practiced by over 1.5 billion people worldwide. You ready for my next guest, Greg Husted? How you doing, Greg?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good.
Thank you for joining us today on The Deen Show. So many people now, we see that even with all the misinformation, with all the negative propaganda, people associating Islam with things blowing up, terrorism, all sorts of misinformation, people are still accepting Islam. Today we're going to be talking about your story and how you ended up coming to Islam. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we want to hear how you ended up stumbling to Islam.
My name is Greg Husted. I'm 23 years old. Been raised, born in Chicago, come from Catholic family. My mother is the oldest of nine. So growing up, she was pretty liberal with me. I didn't have a very, I guess you could say, Christian upbringing. I wasn't held on a very tight leash, so I experienced a lot of things firsthand. You know, didn't have a lot of restrictions. So that was really mostly.
So at what age did you accept Islam?
When I was 19, I accepted Islam. It was.
So you came from a predominantly, your household was a Christian household?
In a sense, I would say more of a hippie household.
Yeah.
You know, my mom was very liberal bringing me up, so there wasn't going to Sunday school or going to church or anything.
So you were
like
just
that.
Basically doing what every youth does, just what, going to school, hanging out, and
yeah, you know, high school, you go to school during the week, and then the weekend, you know, you go and cause trouble and try to get away with it.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us now, how'd you end up becoming a Muslim?
It was actually the summer I graduated from high school. I was at a barbecue, and I met a Muslim guy at this barbecue. Wasn't wearing a turban or anything like that. He was actually a tall, white, blonde guy. So he
wasn't an Arab.
No, it wasn't an Arab. He looked like a California surfer dude.
Because many people have this misconception when you say Islam, we think about turban, big beard, an Arab somewhere in the desert.
No, that wasn't.
He was a blonde hair, blue eye.
Yeah, blonde
looked
hair,
like he
blue
would do,
eye,
about California to do some surfing.
Boy. Yeah. So we just got to talking about life and the universe, you know, which at the time I was, you know, very interested in, you know, just kind of talking about, you know, existence, you know, and purpose and this kind of thing. And we ended up becoming friends, and I started doing a lot of research on the meanwhile. He ended up moving very close to me. We hung out a lot. So he would talk to me a little bit, and I'd go out and do some research. You know, I'd try to rebuke some of the things he said. You know, I'd try to see if I could disprove, you know, find a weakness here and there. But the more I researched, the more I learned, and the wider my perspective became of myself and you know, my knowledge and the world. And there's a couple aspects that really attracted me to Islam. First, historically, it makes a lot of sense, and we can touch base on that a little bit later, but also scientifically, which isn't something you normally see with religion. Usually you see science and religion oppose each other. In this case, science actually backs up Islam, which I thought was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, because at that age, 19, nobody, you know, nowadays, just to bring up religion or talk about these serious issues like
you know, what's my purpose in life? You know, why have I been created? Why am I here? The majority of people are consuming, chasing a position, chasing the dollar, something material. But you are, how did you, you know, think about and talk about and end up exploring something a little more serious?
That's a funny question. I mean, to know exactly why, it's hard to say. You know, we look around these days and we are very conditioned to, you know, go to school, get a job, yada, 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 this kind of thing. But I don't know, it was, you know, sometime during that summer and right before that summer that I just kind of had this thought in my life, or this thought process that, you know, like, there's got to be more to life than, you know, just going to school, you know, going to a party, you know, hanging out with people, this kind of stuff. It just doesn't make sense. You know, we have such high intellect, and the fact that we can sit here and have this conversation and talk, I think, is a proof for itself that we're created for something besides just following our own desires.
Now tell us, being from a Christian background, not really following, did you find yourself at this point, because a lot of times people, even though they don't know about their faith, they end up defending it just because, you know what, they feel like this is what I was brought into by my parents. Did you feel any inclination to go back to Christianity to explore further about the teachings of Christianity or any other religion in your time when you were investigating?
Yeah, in fact, I tried to cover the scope. You know, I didn't specifically look into Islam, but I looked back into Christianity. You know, I had some close coworkers who were devout Christians. And, you know, I had asked them a lot of questions. I had grown up next to a Jewish family, so I asked them a little bit about Judaism. I looked into Buddhism a little bit as well. But, you know, I would just go down the line as far as just different aspects of the religion. And with each one, something would, you know, one of the religions would get washed away, and the only one that was left standing was
Islam. Give us an example.
Well, for example, there is the idea of blind faith. Mm-hmm. You know, in some beliefs, it's said that just believe in it because it is. You can't comprehend this. You know, there's no way. And I can accept the fact that I can't truly comprehend God, but it doesn't make sense. It's not logical in my head that God would make something for us. Like, if he created us with a purpose, why would he make it hard for us to understand? You know, mm-hmm. Like, why wouldn't he make it clear? And I actually heard a really good analogy of this, was that if you were a person and you owned a factory and you wanted people to work in your factory, would you just hire these people and put them in your factory? Or would you explain to them what their job is and how to do it and how to do it properly and when to do it? And with Islam, I found these great details in every aspect of life, you know, how to properly pray, you know, your conduct with people, every single aspect, from macro, you know, big things, social things, to little tiny things. This was all covered. So in that aspect, it made a lot of sense, whereas a lot of other things, like when I asked some of my Christian friends to explain to me the Trinity, I never was able to get a very clear-cut answer. It always seemed to be ambiguous and not answer my question exactly to the point.
So that didn't fit, that God... So you believed in the Creator. Because a lot of times with all the confusion, people just give up. They become agnostic or atheist, and they say, you know what, the heck with all religion, I'm going to just do my own thing. So did you ever come borderline this avenue?
That's kind of what I was before. You know, in high school, like I said, I wasn't raised a devout Christian. So I kind of just, I guess you could say, followed my heart. And this was one of the questions that I actually asked the person telling me about Islam. And he said, well, who's to say that your heart knows what's best for you versus the Creator who created your heart? Mm-hmm. And that kind of got me. And also the fact that, you know, our hearts can be corruptible. And, you know, we can have distorted, jaded visions or perspectives of how things work. So who am I to say that I'm the best judge in what how to conduct my life, mm-hmm. when the Creator has it laid out in front of us?
So you always did believe that it was illogical, it didn't make sense that everything in this creation just created itself, that it just came into being and there wasn't a creator behind this?
Yeah, it just, I always thought that there was something turning the wheels. And I used to tell people, when people asked me to explain, this was before Islam, what I thought of God or, a higher power. I said, just as we look in a microscope, we look at the little microorganisms under the lens, they can't really perceive exactly what we are. They may have their function of how to interact with us and know how to do that, but they're not going to be able to comprehend, who is Greg, what is he? What is he like? They're not made to do that. Just in the same way, we can't fully comprehend God. It's just not within our limits, we can't do that.
So if someone told you and said, this whole prophethood thing, God sending messengers to guide us, a creator, this is something man-made, and just to, keep the masses under check, how would you respond to this? Now, have you come across something like this, if somebody...
Yeah, I've come across people that have that viewpoint, and it's kind of silly to say that, because when you look first at the timeline of prophets, at least in the Islamic faith, we believe in all the prophets and they all came with the same message, which is worship one God alone, and believe in me as the messenger, from the time of Abraham to Ishmael to Isaac to Noah. And actually, interesting fact is, if you look, you can see a heritage tree of all the prophets, that they're all interlinked. But, the same thing, if you were to say that, oh, this is man-made, then you could say the same thing that George Washington wasn't real. How you're just going to rebuke one aspect of history and then accept another? Are you saying that all of history is falsified? I mean, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. History isn't true. So it doesn't make sense. How are you going to say that this is fake? This is man-made, but this aspect of history is true.
Yeah, tell us, Greg. Now in your interaction with this blonde-haired, blue-eyed Muslim, you had mentioned before that he had talked about logic and faith coinciding. Go into depth a little bit in this.
Logic and faith, I mean, before we talked about blind following and how it shouldn't dictate your life. In Islam, there's aspects which you have to accept, which you can't perceive, perceiving God and perceiving angels. We can't perceive what exactly these are in detail. Mm-hmm. But there are other aspects which are very strong, and you can look into, logic and see from a logical standpoint that it makes sense. Like I said before about the timeline of the prophets, is it coincidental that all these people came throughout time saying the same message over and over again and having strong proofs, despite what some people might, think as a man-made thing? These people did live and they existed and they did things, there were miracles that were performed and there are, recorded documents of these people. And in regards to more of a smaller aspect is, in Islam, like I said, everything everything is covered, every aspect of your life. And for instance, how to eat, within Islam, there is the haram, which is what's forbidden, and there's the halal, which is what it's allowed. And in Islam, there is an allowed way to eat and a not allowed way to eat. You're supposed to eat with your right hand. You're not supposed to eat with your left hand. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, he used to eat with his right hand, and he used to eat with, if I'm correct, these three fingers. Now, from, a layman's perspective, you say, oh, well, this is what Muhammad did, so we should do it. But recent scientific discoveries actually show that on the tips of these two fingers, you have enzymes which aid in digestion. So does that, is that just a coincidence, or, is there some logic behind that?
So this is a small detail, but what are the bigger scopes now? Do you have a system of life that you live by from A to Z? You don't have to guess, you know, what my purpose is here, what I need to do, where am I going, what happens when I die, which is a reality, rich, poor, fat, old, American, African, we're all going to hit the grave. So do you know now, do you have a system? Does Islam provide you with a complete way of life on how do you live from A to Z?
Yeah, and everything's covered. You know, how you can conduct yourself amongst people, how you dress, you know, the appropriate relationships and inappropriate relationships, you know, every aspect that you could think of is covered. And, you know, it can help very much, you know, if somebody has this I used to say Islam is like the handbook, the instruction manual for people. Because we didn't create ourselves and we don't really know our full potential. I mean, there's a lot of miraculous feats out there that human beings do, and we haven't really been able to tap into this because we don't really know ourselves that much. Mm-hmm. And here's a perfect instruction manual of how to live your life the way that God wants you to live your life.
Tell us now, let's go back to the encounter that you had. And what actually, so you went back, you started researching, you started looking into all the different religions. You didn't want to just jump into something blindly. You wanted, what were you looking for? Evidence, proof, authenticity? What was the criteria that you were looking for to establish that this is indeed not man-made? Because we don't want to follow something that's man-made. We want to make sure that it's from the Creator. So what criteria did you have, and what had you jump over to accept this way of life?
You know, I don't think, like, that wholeheartedly, you know, I was on a mission, like, you know, this Islam, I might do it, I might not do it.
Yeah.
You know, I was just kind of looking into it, you know, just, you know, I don't really know much about this religion. I did a packet on Islam in high school. Until after I became Muslim, I realized that I had done that packet. I didn't even think about it at the time. It was just schoolwork, you know. So when I actually devoted time into it, you know, some of the things that I looked into were the authenticity of the Quran, because I thought that was an aspect that was very important. You know, the fact that the Quran, 1,400 years later, it remains unchanged in the Arabic. And, you know, also, like I said before, the scientific and historical proofs, these things they intrigued me a lot. You know, historically, the lineage of the prophets and their stories and the miracles they performed, and the fact that it all intertwines together, you know, and scientifically, you know, like I said before, with the fingers, and there's many, 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 many verses in the Quran that talk about things that were unknown to human beings until recently. You know, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he talked about how mountains were set in the ground as pegs. You know, how does an illiterate man 1,400 years ago in the desert know about this? I don't even think it was discovered, but maybe 100 years ago. Might not be accurate on that, but...
So the authenticity of the Quran, that was one point that it is to this day unchanged. It's the same as it was recited then, today. You don't have multiple versions, this book, that book. You were impressed by that. The different scientific facts. You mentioned something on the mountains, which we have the human development, the embryos in there. You have so many different things on the creation that it's amazing that there's no way that a man could have just concocted these things.
Yeah, and it's also reaffirming that which came before it. Muhammad, the revelation, the Quran, it doesn't talk about this as being something new that, like, that everything else is, you know, rebuking anything. Actually, in order to become Muslim, you have to believe in Noah, and you have to believe in Moses and all the previous prophets.
Jesus.
You know, you have to believe in Abraham. And you have to believe, you know, that these people were prophets and that they did come with revelation. So, you know, like I said, like, from a timeline standpoint, it just makes sense. Most recent.
So it made sense, it fit, and... Now, what was that turning point? Did someone give you an invitation? Did someone say, you know, look, this is what you need to do. Muslim, you got to jump in the back, get baptized. What was the procedure that you went through? What was that turning point, the situation that you accepted submission and surrender, which is Islam, to the Creator of the heavens and the earth and not His creation? And a Muslim is one who does this action. You stepping over and doing this, acknowledging that there's a Creator, He alone is worthy of worship, and I'm going to do what he wants me to do. At what point did you take that step?
It's kind of funny, actually. I think that I had internally become Muslim without even realizing it, because I did this research on and off for a year, and you know, I had a lot of, you know, also along with the scientific and historical proofs, just my own personal experiences. You know, as I was learning, I was just seeing things, you know, I was seeing things that I was reading, you know, just manifest, you know, and I can't, there's no way I could possibly explain it, but you know, everybody knows in their own personal experience, through their own eyes, when something like that happens, that it means something, that I don't believe in coincidence, you know, everything happens for a reason. But I was actually, when I realized, I was sitting in my friend's house, and we were talking and just kind of going over the same blonde-haired friend, and you know, we went over the different things that I had been researching, and he asked me, he said, "Well, what do you think about all this stuff?" You know, I said, "Oh, you know, it's amazing. You know, all this stuff. I think it's all true. You know, I can't refute any of it, and you know, if I were to, I'd only be lying to myself." And he said, "Well, you know, man, like, you're Muslim. You know, just about. You know, like." Aside from the Shahada, from the testification, the verbal testification, you say, like, you're Muslim, you know. And that's when it hit me. You know, I was sitting there, and it hit me, like, in my heart. It was weird. My heart kind of jumped. I was like, man, like, he's right, you know. And at that point in time, you know, I had to make the decision in whether or not I should continue living my life the way I was living it, or I should start following all this stuff that I believed in. Because I had done all this research, everything I researched I found to be true, and now it was, you know, it was time to choose, you know, road A or road B, you know. And, you know, I'm glad that I chose, you know, to accept Islam. You know, it's not necessarily an easy ride, you know. The Quran, it says that, you know, that God will test you, you know, just because you're Muslim doesn't mean like, oh, it's all good, you know, like you're Muslim, it's free ride. No, you get tested because God wants to see if you truly believe. So I've been tested in many different ways about it. But, you know, I tend to look back and think about how I used to live my life before. And if I were here now in that same state, like how would I react to situations when something bad came upon me or something good? And how would I deal with life, and what would I think? You know, how would I be conducting myself? Because especially in this society, the way that we're conditioned is just to, you know, kind of, you know, do what you want to do as long as you're not hurting anybody else, mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, and a majority of people my age are, a lot of people are out, they're going and they're drinking and they're partying and they're doing these things. And if you really stop and think about it, all you're doing is destroying your body and wasting your time. You know, it may be fun at the time, but, you know, down the line, you'll realize, you know, that that time could have been spent doing other things, more beneficial things.
A few more points before we come to an end. I'd like to thank everybody for sitting tight through another episode of The Dean Show. We want to know now, talk to us, because there's a lot of stigma attached to Islam. People start to think that, you know what, this is a religion of the Arabs and whatnot. Tell us quickly, have you dealt with these situations where people look at you negatively, they give you a hard time, and what's your relationship with Jesus now? People think now that you left Christianity that, you know what, you have left the love of Jesus or whatever the case. Talk about these two points and we're almost coming to an end. Just briefly touch upon this.
I personally haven't come across too much negativity in regards to my coming to Islam. Most people are pretty accepting, or at least I guess you could say tolerant of it. So I personally haven't experienced that too much. You know, I'm very fortunate. I know other people have. In regards to with Jesus, you know, before it was really hard for me to accept in the Christian doctrine this the role that Jesus played. Like, it didn't make sense in my head. And within Islam, it makes much more sense in logic that Jesus was a prophet, just as the prophets before him and just as Muhammad after him. So I've had, you know, a lot of Christians say that, well, you know, you're not truly saved. And, you know, if people don't want to listen, then that's up to them. You know, I had a discussion with a Christian friend, and I tried to tell him that there's the only way you can learn is if you come with an empty glass, you know, meaning that you have to come in and try to learn. So, you know, that's, I have a better relationship and understanding in regards to that.
So you believe in him as a mighty messenger, but not God?
Yeah, I believe in him as the Messiah, that he will come back. I don't believe that he shares divinity with God. I believe that he follows the line of succession of the prophets, and that he came, you know, with the Injil, with the gospel.
Okay, that's good. So he continued the same message from the beginning of time, which was to worship the Creator, not his creation. Anything in the creation had a beginning. The Creator has no beginning. It's very simple. These are his attributes. The Creator is self-sufficient. He doesn't eat, drink, go to the bathroom. Anything that's in the creation, a man, he's not self-sufficient. He eats, he drinks, and then what? Goes to the bathroom. Is that God? Is that the God you want to worship? No. So I'd like to thank you for coming and being with us on the Dean Show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'd like to thank you for sitting through another episode of the Dean Show, helping you understand Islam and Muslims. It's very important that you have your mind on and do something very basic. Remember death, because death is the destroyer of all pleasures. You can be indulging in this and that and the other thing, but remember, no matter what age you are, what nationality, you can be American, African, Brazilian, Caucasian, black, Indian, yellow, red, pink, doesn't matter. Death will catch us all. It's caught many people. Elvis Presley died at the age of 42. Bruce Lee, he was 32. His son followed a few years later. He died at the age of 28. Jimi Hendrix, Dr. Dre, you know him? His son died at the age of 20. The list goes on. Heath Ledger, you heard of him? Batman, or the Joker he played, he's dead too. There are many people that have died, and they were doing the same thing that we're doing. Chasing the material world, chasing a position, but they were forgetting about death. This is not a call to pessimism. It's a call to optimism, to know that there's something better, that this whole universe and everything in it didn't just come by chance. Just like those keys in your pocket in that car, it didn't get put together by chance. That there is someone, a designer, an orchestrator behind all this, and he has a purpose on how he wants you to live. So it's up to you to be sincere with yourself. You can cover the truth. It's innate in your very nature that you believe in a God. I'm not going to tell you all these facts about Islam. I leave it up to you. And we'll close with this. Ask the Creator deep down in your heart to guide you. There's all these religions, ways of life out there. No one's going to claim that he's on falsehood. Everyone's going to claim that they're on the truth. So it's up to you to be sincere with yourself. Remember death. Seek the purpose of life. Ask these important questions. Take a time out from the material world and search. Do some deep contemplating and think about these things, that I will die and I'm going to have to answer for everything I did in this life. Start with that very basic step. Seek to know why I'm here and where I'm going. And come back every week to the Dean Show, where we talk about these very important issues. Thank you once again. You can visit us here every week. TheDeenShow.com. Until next time, Assalamu Alaikum. Peace be unto you.